sharpening our senses, our spiritual senses, awakening the church. Well, back in April, as Martin said, I was praying before church and I had a picture of a pencil sharpener with five different coloured pencils, and I felt the Lord impress on me that we needed to sharpen up our spiritual senses. And to be honest, 20 minutes or so is not long enough to unpack this, but hopefully it will give you a taste, pardon the pun. Because I do believe in these days, the Lord is challenging the church to be fully awake, fully alive. And that means having all our spiritual senses activated. Now, blunt pencils and blunt knives are not very effective, but we don't realise how blunt they are until they're sharpened. Similarly, we don't realise we are asleep until we wake up. I think it's time to see the church, and that involves each one of us, to be fully awake, fully loaded, meaning that all our senses are working. Now, we have natural senses of taste, sight, smell, hearing, and touch. But what this is about awakening our spiritual senses so that we learn to hear and sense what the Lord is saying through them. I believe there's so much more than we currently see and experience. And I think the Lord is saying, remember watching films or football on black and white television? Well, it's time to go full colour. Why? Because I believe this is God's way of revealing his love to us and to those around us, and to keep us in a secure position. And boy, do we need that. It's time to be naturally supernatural so that it becomes our norm. Even if some of us struggle with some senses, we have at least got a few that are working. What we don't have is compensated by others. I wear contact lenses and hearing aids, but I pray every morning that I see what he wants me to see. I hear what he wants me to hear. It says in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. The picture when Snow White, lying in a glass coffin, receives the kiss of life from the prince is, I believe, what the Lord wants to do with his bride, the church. It's that intimate touch that brings her life, and her senses are restored. Proskuneo is one of the words for worship in the New Testament. It comes from pros, which means towards, and kineo, which means to kiss. We come alive when we worship our living God. He inhabits our worship. There's supernatural power at work. It's a holy kiss. And in Acts, we see how the Holy Spirit enables a holy kiss to take place. Heaven kisses earth, and for the first time, fresh breath is breathed into the first Christians, and they experience their senses in a way they've never experienced them before. They see tongues of fire. They hear new tongues and languages. They experience a touch from heaven. They're fully alive. They encounter something supernatural beyond their natural comprehension. So let's unpack the senses. Let's start with sight. We need our eyes to see what is around us. The English word see comes from the word seon, which means to seek, look, observe, perceive, understand, or to behold in the imagination or in a dream. I think too often we see with one dimension, and I think the Lord wants to shift from passive seeing to active noticing. In Psalm 119, verse 18, it says, open my eyes to see the miracle wonders hidden in your word. And Ephesians 1, verse 18 says, I pray that the light of God will illuminate the eyes of your imagination, flooding you with light until you experience the full revelation of the hope of his calling. That is the wealth of God's glorious inheritances that he finds in us, his holy ones. And in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18, it states, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. But what is the difference between natural sight and spiritual sight? Well, our physical sense of sight allows us to see what is in front of us, whereas our spiritual sight allows us to see the eternal perspective. When we see with our spiritual eyes, we are enlightened to understand what God is saying through his word and experience it in our lives. And we are more aware of what is around us and we notice what we are noticing. One of the books from my childhood was called My Aunt Went to Town. It was published 50 years ago. And it starts like this: my aunt went to town and she didn't notice. She didn't notice that she dropped the litter. And it's only when a crane hooks onto her the umbrella she's holding and hauls her high above the city that she starts to really see. And as she's dangling precariously, it states, she noticed everything, very much indeed. And she thought as she was lowered to the ground, I'll never not notice again. When we see with his eyes, his perspective, we shift from passive seeing to active noticing. There's an invitation to see beyond and experience so much more. Now, some people, particularly prophets, have a gift to see into the spiritual realm. They record encounters with Jesus. They see him. They have a seer anointing. Others have spiritual revelation at night and the Lord appears to them in dreams and visions. A friend of mine died when she was 40 and she saw the Lord. She came back to life and has been encouraging others in their faith for the last 45 years. At 85, she is still as passionate as ever and still traveling and preaching. Roger and I saw her a few weeks ago. She was demonstrating the breath of God, and she held a heart-shaped helium balloon to represent the Holy Spirit, that if she let it go, it would go up. And then she got Rog to blow up a balloon to demonstrate what man's breath was like. The balloon was just full of hot air. And she let it go, and funny enough, it landed right in his lap. It doesn't go anywhere. We need the Holy Spirit, the Ruach of God, to breathe on our senses. So what is it that catches our attention? Sometimes in a split of a second, we might see a movement, a flash, an unusual smell, feel a breeze. It's important to take notice of these moments, as the Lord might want to interrupt us and speak to us. Now, that was deliberate. That wasn't you, Martin. That was Rog. And that was deliberate. I'm just checking that you were awake. So here's a couple of examples where I've actually seen something quite unusual that's caught my eye. I guess Moses got caught by that burning bush. And as he took notice, it's then that God spoke to him. I was running, as I do, along the canal bank. And as a train was approaching on the bank above, I felt the Lord say, your train is on its way. But as I heard this, the train immediately stopped. And I was like a bit stunned. I think, have I made that stop? Of course, it was nothing to do with me, but it caught my attention. And I asked, what are you wanting to say? And the reply was this: there are times when you don't understand the delay until afterwards. The passengers on that train probably don't know why they've stopped, but the train will move and it will get to the station, just as your train will come and you won't miss it. Another occasion, after Rog spoke honestly on a Sunday morning about our faith journey, I not only almost lost my left eye, but that night we found fleas in our bed. You couldn't make it up. We don't have animals. We don't know how they got there. But the next morning, I ran past a car and a number plate. It said FL3A on it. It spelt out flea. It caught my attention and I laughed. What's that about, Lord? I asked. Submit to me, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. God's all around us. He speaks to us through what we see, and it will always back what it says in Scripture. So hearing, I've already inferred to this with that scenario. What we see is often accompanied by sound. A few years ago, I was on the treadmill, and I shared this, I remember saying this, and I could hear this weird noise coming from somewhere around me. I ignored it, but it kept coming back until I realized what it was. It was my headphones speaking, "Charge me, charge me." We need to charge up our hearing devices and make sure we shut out the distractions and tune into the voices that line up with God's heart. In Isaiah 55, verse 3, it says, "Incline your ear and come to me, hear, and your soul shall live." In Revelation 2, verse 7, it states, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." And in John 10, verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." With our physical sense of hearing, we listen with our ears. With our spiritual sense of hearing, however, we hear with our hearts so that we hear God's voice. God's desire was to have fellowship with man. It's why we were created. But in order to have a relationship, you need communication. And the only way that we can communicate with the omnipotent God is to hear his voice with our spiritual ears. We have to shut out the earthly voices so that we can hear his. He promises us that as we draw near to him, he will draw near to us. And by doing so, we can discern his voice from other things in our lives. Now, one perfect example of this is in 1 Kings 19 when God speaks to Elijah. Martin referred to this a few weeks ago. "Go out and stand before me on the mountain," the Lord told him. And as Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was the sound of a gentle whisper. There were many things that came to Elijah as he was waiting to hear the Lord's voice. Now, God could have spoken to him through the wind, the earthquake, or the fire, but instead he spoke to Elijah in a still, small voice. We have to shut out the noise to listen, hear, and then obey what he tells us to do. Now, the Bible presents the sense of smell with the word aroma. Now, physically, our sense of smell is considered one of the most powerful of the senses. It's linked to parts of the brain that process memory and emotion. If I smell the aftershave Old Spice, I instantly think of my late grampy, for example. Our sense of smell helps us detect both good and bad scents. Now, spiritually, the sense of smell is also emphasized before God. As his children, we produce an aroma that is pleasing to him. Our prayers have an aroma like incense. In the Old Testament, incense was used as part of sacrifices in the temple. And once lit, the incense released a fragrance and smoke that filled the room. It represented the prayers of the people going up to God the Father. And as believers, we are called to be the fragrance of Christ to others. And others should recognize the scent of Christ on us and be drawn to Christ through us. In 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14 and 15, it says, "Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ amongst those who are being saved and among those who are perishing." In Psalm 141, verse 2, it states, "Let my prayer be set before you as incense, the lifting of my hands as the evening sacrifice." And while I was running the other day, in fact, I took this... sorry, have I gone taste already? Have I done taste? Have I missed taste out completely? No? No, I haven't got to taste. Did I? I've missed my roses. Ah, there you are. My roses. I took that this morning, actually. While I was running the other day, I was struck by an amazing smell, and I stopped to see what it was. It was roses. And when I took in their scent, I felt the Lord say, my church needs to wake up and smell the roses. I don't think we realise how important our praise and intimacy with the Lord is, or the smell we carry. Now, some of you may have heard this story, but I believe this shows the power of smell on a spiritual level. And I've asked Rod to read it.
On February the 20th, 1976, a hush fell over the 800-bed hospital as the lights flickered out. Moments earlier, Catherine Coleman, a renowned evangelist, had passed away. While her declining health suggested an irregular heartbeat leading to a flat line, her heart inexplicably stopped, leaving everyone stunned. Catherine's body emanated a warmth that surprised the new, unbelieving nurse tending to her. But the true wonder unfolded next. The air, thick with the fragrance of millions of roses, enveloped not just the room, but the entire floor. No roses were present, yet the heavenly scent bloomed from within. The aroma's journey didn't stop there. It permeated the entire hospital, defying the sterility of medical floors and wafting across the street into the adjoining building. Nurses and patients alike were left in awe, unable to explain the fragrance's origin. As the head nurse arrived to record the official time of death, 1:13 a.m., she reprimanded the new nurse for allowing roses on the ICU floor, unaware of the invisible bouquet filling the air. The scent wasn't confined to one room or floor. It had miraculously claimed four stories of the hospital and stretched beyond, leaving no doubt about its source. Back in Catherine's room, the new nurse, overwhelmed by the tangible presence of the Holy Spirit, struggled to stand. The weight of glory, as she described it, was palpable. Later, checking the previous nurse's notes, they found a chilling revelation. Catherine's final words and a request scribbled in haste. I shall die on February the 20th at 1:13 a.m. Please have only roses at my funeral. Deeply moved, the young nurse, once sceptical, found herself overcome with tears. In that moment, she experienced a profound shift, touched by the undeniable presence of the Holy Spirit. Catherine Coleman's passing wasn't a somber farewell, but a glorious departure. Her legacy, intertwined with the fragrance of roses, continues to inspire even today, a testament to the extraordinary power of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and the mysteries that lie beyond our understanding.
I just thought it was so powerful. Before I move on to touch and taste, I just want to highlight a key moment in Jesus's life that involved smell. Just before he's led to his death, Mary breaks an alabaster jar full of expensive perfume and pours it over his feet, wiping it away with her hair. That smell, that anointing ready for his burial, would, I believe, had lingered on his body and probably on those who were in that room for a long time afterwards. Smells linger. When we praise, our incense lingers. There's power in our prayers. We carry an amazing aroma that will be pleasing to some, but not to others. And smell and taste go hand in hand. If we have a blocked nose, our food doesn't taste as good. So taste comes from the Middle Eastern verb tasten, which means to perceive a flavour, experience or feel something. We read in Psalm 34, verse 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him, And in Psalm 119, verse 103, we read, "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." With our physical sense of taste, we experience the flavor of food or drink. There are certain tastes I cannot stand, like wasabi, but others I love, like licorice. We have an acquired taste for certain things. And with our spiritual sense of taste, we experience all the various characteristics of God through his word and through our lives. We experience his graciousness, his goodness, and his sweetness. When we are ill, stressed, and overwhelmed, we can lose our natural appetite or craving for food. But when we're hungry, we look for something to eat. Sometimes our hunger for God can be dulled, but when we have a taste of God, we will develop a hunger for him and his word. And as this hunger grows, we devour the word of God, and then we're able to discern what comes from the mouth of God, the living bread, as opposed to what the world is saying. How we need discernment. Walking with the Lord is a full-bodied experience. We cannot compartmentalize that experience. We need all our senses to be alive. Just one touch from the King changes everything. So we turn to our final sense, which is touch. And there are many ways that we can feel physical touch. An embrace, a hug, or a punch. Sometimes these touches do not help us, they can harm us. But when we look at the spiritual sense of touch, it is always for our good. In the verses mentioned, we can see how God touches his people and the effect it has. 4 years ago, during lockdown, we were in Liverpool sussing out the city as Emily was due to start her degree in the September. I found a piece of coal on Crosby Beach and took it back to where we were staying. At 3 o'clock in the morning, I woke up and I felt the Lord tell me to get that piece of coal and put it on my lips. I felt he wanted to take me into a deeper sense of what communication meant. I only wanted to speak words of encouragement, and that means I need to do that to myself as well as others, and I'm not so good at encouraging myself. But in Isaiah 6, verse 6 to 13, it reads how the prophet Isaiah encountered burning coal. There was fire on the altar. One of the seraph angels used a pair of tongs to take a hot coal from the fire. And then the angel flew to me with it in his hand. He touched my mouth with the hot coal and said, "When this hot coal touched your lips, your guilt was taken away and your sins were erased." Then I heard the Lord's voice saying, "Who can I send? Who will go for us?" So I said, "Here I am, send me." Throughout the Bible, we see people who were touched by God in some way. Jesus understood the importance of touch as part of communicating. His miracles always started with some form of physical touch. In Mark 8, Jesus heals a blind man at Bethsaida. In Mark 5, we hear about the woman who was plagued with a blood disease. She just got healed by the touch of the garment. And in Mark 1, verse 30, 41, we see Jesus healing a leper by touch. He could have healed that man with a word or a thought, but he chose to touch him. Why? Because it would have been so long since that man had felt a touch. One touch from the King changes everything. His touch in our lives can be to strengthen us, encourage us, admonish us, or direct us, but it's always for our greater good. We all need to be held, to be known, to be touched. And the best touch we can have is from the one who created us. So finally, let's briefly look at how our spiritual senses can be dulled. And I would suggest indifference, apathy, and unbelief as some culprits. But there are times in our lives when our senses are dulled through no fault of our own. Seasons of grief, seasons of caring for newborns and small children, a loved one who's sick. Seasons of transition, seasons of stress. Amid these seasons, you may feel like you can't see or taste or smell or feel anything. Senses are dulled because you are in survival mode. So briefly, how can we ensure our senses, our spiritual senses, get sharpened? One, by recognizing that we need them sharpened and we are feeling dull spiritually. And then surrender our senses afresh to our Creator so He can enhance them again. Two, keep connected with God, His children, and the Word. Keep worshipping, even if you don't feel like it or the words you sing don't feel your reality. I've been feeling quite low lately, but I felt the Lord tell me to do a few things. Brush the dust off my guitar and worship Him, and to take communion regularly and concentrate on something that brings me joy every day. It's very tempting to stay away from people when you're struggling, but it's at these times it's vital to press in even more. Because when we engage with the Lord, His people, and His Word, they become who we are and our spiritual senses are honed. Three, it's about engagement, not just showing up. It's about meditating on the Word, not just reading it. It's about worshipping with our heart, not just singing the words. Four, maybe we need to find a new way of doing things. Try something new. Go for a walk and ask the Lord to highlight things He wants you to smell, see, hear, touch, see, taste. Is there anything that has arrested you? Linger a bit longer and ask Him what He wants to say through those things. And five, pray for one another and share regularly what you feel the Lord is saying. We sharpen the body when we build the body up. We are as sharp to the degree we allow the sharpener to sharpen us. It says in Proverbs 27, verse 17, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. So let's sharpen each other. Recognize where our senses are dull and allow the Holy Spirit to wake us up. Let's be fully awake, fully loaded. He's given us everything we need. Let's allow Him to interrupt us, arrest us. It's time to be the church He wants us to be, fully alive and ready to go beyond what we know. This is not an endurance test. This is an adventure. Come on, church. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to fill us afresh. We need to confess that we haven't been fully alert and alive and allow Him to sharpen all our spiritual senses. Let's move from passive seeing to active noticing and shift from familiar to fascinated. Let's wake up. I'm going to say this prayer. This is a personal prayer, but if you want to join me, I'm just going to read it. And if that echoes with you, please quietly say that too. Here I am, Lord. All that I am and all that I hope to be, I surrender to You. I present to You my body, soul, and spirit with all of their natural and supernatural senses. Senses become unlocked in the name of Jesus. May they be useful to You as instruments for accomplishing Your will on earth. Lord, where they have been dulled through indifference, apathy, and unbelief, forgive me. Holy Spirit, fill me afresh today and awaken my senses that I might be all that You have called me to be. May I not miss all You are doing and saying to me. Open the eyes of my heart, Jesus, that I may fully understand Your love for me and those around me. Awaken Your church out of its slumber to be the bride You always intended it to be. And may I play my part. In Your precious name, amen.